Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
Those of us who are Christians, been a Christian for a long time, we think we've heard the gospel before. God, let that not be the case. God, let us soften our hearts. Wherever we are at with our walk with you, God, we can learn something today from what Yaz is going to bring, Father. So anoint her, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool.
Damo, that was a very pressured introduction. I'm actually very excited also to be here to speak. And I've been in Blackpool for maybe around a year now, was in Lancaster for about 4 years beforehand. And so I'm getting used to the northern ways. I really enjoy it. We were talking yesterday in the pub actually about how much Northerners value things like chips and gravy, and there's a Greggs on every other corner you see, and all that stuff. So it's good. The weather's always really nice here as well. So yeah, no, that's good. So today I'm going to be speaking on the theme of redemption, and I'm going to be speaking on what redemption looks like in our society, and also what it means for the Christian. Is that music? Cool, kids are having fun. And so before I start, I just want to read from Ephesians. I'm reading from Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 10. And it says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity into all things to heaven and on earth under Christ." And there's a lot in that passage, and I'm only going to be really talking out of 1 Ephesians verse 7, but I thought it was really good just to bring that passage because it's just so rich with truth and bring some context. But what I'm going to be focusing on is verse 7. So in him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. And I thought to myself, is there an example of where I've redeemed something? And the first example I had was actually with my sisters. And I don't know if you have siblings here, you may have a similar example of redemption. But you know that there's a day where you're feeling really generous, and your sisters, they really like something of yours, whether it's an item of clothing or, I don't know, a CD you have. I think for me, my little sister Daisy, she really liked these shoes I had. And I was feeling really generous one day, and so she was wearing the shoes, and I was like, "Daisy, you can have those shoes." And she was really happy, and I was like, "Yeah, that's good." And then a few days later, I was feeling a bit less generous, and she was wearing those shoes, and I was like, "I actually think I want those back." And if you have siblings, you know you can't just ask for those back because that's not the rules. So basically what I had to do is find something that she would like more than those shoes for me to be able to have those back. I think it was a jumper or something, I don't remember. But basically I redeemed those shoes back. I had to buy them back. And I think there are many other examples of redemption in today's society. You can redeem back your mortgage if you have a lot of money, or more. In more current situations, it's quite a popular theme with films and books. And it's a different type of redemption, but it focuses on solutions. So acts which bring about solutions. So someone is in a fairly undesirable category and they do something and they become into a more desirable category. And there are many examples. Some of my favourites is Snape, if there are any Harry Potter fans in here. That moment when you realise Snape has been good the whole time, and it's brilliant. And his redemption story takes him from a villain to an unsung hero. Or say in the famous film Shawshank Redemption, Alfie Dufresne, when he comes out of all the muck and the sewage and all of that, that actually
you realize he's redeemed himself. He was an imprisoned man, and now he is a free man. And those stories are really great. They bring an emotive response in us, and so they're good. But actually, to an extent, I think they miss the true meaning of redemption. And I think in society, we can look at, actually, we can be something. We can go from A to B by doing this. But we miss the cost. Like in the beginning when I said there was a cost I had to pay to redeem something back. And I think society misses that. And at this point, I guess I want to be explicit about why am I bothering to talk about the cost of redemption or even redemption in itself. And I think it's because I believe that every single human being on this earth needs to go through this journey of redemption. And it's not one that looks at human potential. It's not a five-step program and we can be this and that. It's a redemption story which involves a redeemer, which I will talk about more. But initially, I want to look at, so what do I think we're redeeming? What do I think we need to be redeemed from? And I'm going to go back to the verse, read it again in Ephesians. And it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And that is what we're being redeemed from, is this thing called sin. And the Bible talks about sin a lot. And it basically kind of means immoral actions, bad things of this earth, evil doings. And it also says in Romans, the Bible talks about sin as a controlling power from which all humanity must be delivered. And if you look at the world, it's hard to disagree with that statement. We have people who are starving because of greed. We have people who are being murdered because of anger or raped because of lust. And sadly, that list can go on and on. And it's clear that it's a controlling power as well, that actually it doesn't just control society, it controls us in our individual lives, that actually we don't want to do these bad things, but we do, and it controls us. And one of the good examples is, I don't know if you guys have heard of Slimming World. It's like this weight kind of watchers program. And in it, they have these things called sins, and you're allowed a number in a week, I think. And it's funny because basically I think what some women do, I'm sure not all of them, but they save up all their sins. And so on the Friday, they can have whatever they want, and whether it's like a bottle of wine or a box of chocolates. And so through this whole week, their whole diet is being controlled by these sins, by the things that they can have at the end of the week. And it's a bit ironic because it's probably the thing they have at the end of the week, which is the issue in the first place. But it's interesting that it can just take over, that actually this desire for this sin can take over. And I think lots of people agree with the fact that sin is in this world and it's bad. And there are lots of different examples of how people want to deal with this, how different worldviews say we can be redeemed from this. And lots of religions, they will have two categories. So they will have a righteous category and an unrighteous category. You are either right with God or you're not. And so all of their instructions or their scriptures or their teachings will be instructions, will be methods of how to make sure that you're in that righteous category. And if you're not, then essentially you need to do those things to make sure you are. And I think even if you're not religious, that actually people have this idea of good and bad people, that actually, yeah, we like to separate them out. And some people can change. Tiger Woods is, I don't know why he's in my example, but he is. He was at some point in probably everyone's good people category, that actually he was quite an inspiration. He was a good sportsman, pioneering and all of that. And then obviously he had the scandal where he had multiple affairs on his wife. And so he suddenly goes from being in people's good category to people's bad category. And as a world, I think we are encouraged to think like that. But the problem with it is, of course, we have good people who do bad things and bad people who do good things. And so it's really hard. And even if you decided to go, right, okay, I'm going to go to the far extreme, Adolf Hitler, he's a good example to say he is a bad guy. Actually, it probably makes sense that the world would be better off without him. He caused so much suffering that would have been better if he just kind of didn't exist or was alone away somewhere, locked up. And you're like, okay, well, probably the majority of the people think that's true. Adolf Hitler was pretty bad. And then you can go down. So you're like, I don't know, maybe Donald Trump for some people. He's caused suffering. And actually, he's the leader of the very powerful country at the moment, America. Maybe he was better to just kind of take a step back, not exist. And you could go down the line again. You could go and see Tiger Woods and down again and then again. And at some point, you would ending up reaching to yourself and you would be like, well, I've caused suffering towards people, so does that mean the world is better off without me? And I think it's important to clarify that there's a writer called Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and he summarizes this point in this quote very clearly, and he says, if only it was so simple. If only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being, and who is willing to destroy a piece of their own heart? The God of the Bible does not distinguish between good and bad people. And that's sometimes a bit crazy, because Christianity, to some extent, it is associated with good behavior. It's associated with the behavior of we want to feed the poor, we want to do this, we want to do that. It's quite active. But actually, the crux of the religion is not about being good or being bad. And it says in Romans very clearly that none is righteous, not even one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So it's totally different. Christianity it doesn't focus on a spiritual development. It doesn't focus on blessings for those who do good deeds. Actually, we all stand here as broken human beings, unable to redeem ourselves. We are all in the same boat. And it's important to remember that it wasn't always like this, that when God created the world initially, He created it in this perfect state where man and God were in a perfect relationship and there was no sin and there was no suffering. And of course, when sin came into this world, this rebellion against God, when we all want to go and do our own thing, our own way, and people are not subconsciously, I'm not going to follow you, God. Some people don't even believe in God. And so it's not always a subconscious thing. But from when we're born and you see a child grow up, there is this innate rebellion nature in them. And I'm not saying this about any of your kids. But, if you say to a child, don't touch that, they're probably going to touch it or go that way. They go the other way. And it's just innate within us, this element to just do wrong, to go away, to sin. And it's what's caused us to separate from God, that actually we can now no longer be in this perfect state. This is what we need saving from. We need saving from the sin that we are in. We need redeeming so we can go back into this perfect state. And we see acts of human kindness on a regular basis, of course, and we see that humans are capable of love. But I think it's fair to say that it's not something that we can resolve ourselves. That actually, history repeats itself, and that famous saying, but it's true, we think we're a developing nation and then something goes wrong and another, terrorist attack happens at the moment or something really bad happens and we realise we're back to square one. Actually, it's just a vicious circle. And I don't think as a humanity we can solve this issue of sin. And even if we look at the consequences of sin on this earth, that actually when you steal a loaf of bread or park somewhere you're not supposed to park, you get a fine and there are consequences for earthly sin here on this earth. That happens all the time. You might have to sit on the naughty step for however many minutes. That happens. But actually, the Bible goes even broader than that and says the consequence of sin is death. And that's a big thing. And death is a really sensitive subject. And unfortunately, it's something that at some point we're all going to have to go through, or even worse, experience a loved one dying. And when you do, you mourn because it feels so unnatural that actually death is not a natural thing for us to go through. We don't like it. And it's because it wasn't God's purpose for us. And so we do. We need this redemption story. We need a redeemer to take us away from this trap of sin, to put us right with God so that we can live with him. We can get rid of this consequence of sin, of death. And I thank you that's not the end to the story. The fact that we are standing here today as a broken people who sin, who are separated from God, that is not the end of the story. This journey of redemption is one of hope. And Christianity, it offers something far better than a list of rules, than a list of methods to try and get you into a good place, to try and get you righteous. But Christianity offers redemption as a free gift. And I say free gift because although you don't usually have to pay for a gift, there's always some sort of requirement. You might have, I don't know, it's your birthday and you managed to stay alive for 10 years. So here's a gift. Or you got married, or you're just someone's friend. But God had this gift of redemption from way before you were even born. That actually there is nothing even you could have done. Nothing you could have done. You weren't even existing when God had you in mind when he was offering this gift of redemption. And so it is completely free. However, even though it's free for us, it wasn't completely free for God, that actually there was a price to pay for this. There was a price to pay for God to buy back his creation, for him to redeem his creation. Just like I had to give Daisy a nice jumper for those shoes, God, he had to pay a price, and that price was Jesus. And Jesus was the Son of God. He was someone who was fully man and fully God. And he was the one that was sent onto this earth to die on the cross. And when he died on the cross, all the sin, all the shame, all the rubbish was put on him. And God knew that was going to happen, and Jesus knew that was going to happen. And he went to the cross willingly. And so we didn't have to pay for it. So actually, all our muck, all our sin, all our shame got put onto Jesus while he was on that cross. And that was the price for God to buy back his creation. And you may ask, well, why did God want to buy back his creation? And the answer to that is simply because he loves us. And that is it. He loves us so much. And even though he died, he sent Jesus for the world, he loves you personally. And I remember someone told me that even if you were the only person that God had to send Jesus to die for, he would have done so. And that brings me a little warm, fuzzy feeling. But actually, it's more than that. That's one love. That is one heck of a love. And that is the reason that God sent Jesus. That is the reason why he wants us back. And it says that in the Bible in a very famous passage. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, so that everyone believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And so we can stand here today in the knowledge that our redemption has been paid, that actually this whole issue with sin, this whole issue with us being trapped by it and it controlling us, has been paid by God, that we don't have to experience this consequence anymore, that we can now be with Jesus forever and God forever in that perfect state. And when Jesus died on the cross, he famously said these words, "It is finished." And as a Christian, we have a belief that our redemption has started with Jesus and ends with Jesus. And again, I want to read the verse, Ephesians 1 verse 7. In him we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. And I love that word grace. Damien touched on it a bit before, that actually grace is getting something you don't deserve. And when I say redemption, it starts with Jesus and finished with Jesus. It's exactly that we can do no more to save ourselves because it's already been done. And that is the beauty of the gospel. And one of my favorite illustrations of this is, I don't know if any of you have read the crucifixion of Jesus, but when Jesus was crucified, he was crucified next to two robbers. Just find it in Luke. He was crucified next to two robbers. And I'm just going to read the story because it's interesting looking at the two different robbers' responses. So, So one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, at Jesus. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And I love that story because it illustrates so clearly that element of grace. That actually that robber hanging on the cross, he physically couldn't do anything more. he was hanging there and he couldn't jump down and go and start being a reformed man and doing all these great things. He couldn't do anything. But what he did do is when he was next to Jesus, he was suddenly aware of his sin. And he was suddenly aware, wow, actually, I deserve this. This is a consequence of something I deserve. And being next to Jesus, he became aware of that. And all he did is he reached out to Jesus and said, "Can you remember me?" And Jesus said, "Yes." And that was it. And that's the beauty of it, that actually he saw something in Jesus. He saw a redeemer. He saw someone who could save him from his sin. And he reached out to him and Jesus said, "Yes." And I love that. And because of that, that robber can now be with him in heaven forever. And I think it's great. And it's just such the beauty of the gospel. And it's amazing that every single person on this earth has an opportunity to do that, has an opportunity of redemption, to accept that free gift and be made righteous with God. And if you are a Christian today and you have assurance that you've been saved and that your sins are forgiven, then we can rejoice in that fact. And we can go here with that knowledge that because Jesus did everything for us to be made righteous, that we don't have to do anything to be made righteous, but also we can't do anything to be made unrighteous. And I think that's great that we can go away with that truth that we are a righteous people for nothing we've done. And if you're not a Christian in this room today and you have never accepted Jesus, then I want to give an opportunity for you to reach out on him. If you feel like you are that robber on the cross, if you feel like, actually, I'm aware of my sin, I'm aware that it is a controlling power and that actually I'm not right with God, then I want to give you that opportunity, like the robber, to reach out to him today. And so if everyone would stand. And I'm just going to pray a prayer while everyone has their eyes shut. And then I'm going to give an opportunity for people to respond if they felt actually moved, if they felt like they've become aware of their sin. Or even if you want to know a bit more about, okay, what is this all about? So I'm just going to pray. God, I thank you for your free gift of redemption. I am sorry for the suffering that I have caused, both to you and others around me. But God, we thank you today that you sent Jesus to die on the cross so that I can be forgiven and redeemed. God, I want to accept this gift of salvation and I want to become right with you.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.